Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, D-Aliens? This is Miraz, the executive producer and sidekick on the DA Show. You're locked right here to the best of the DA Show on this hump day. Check out the best takes, laughs, and hysterical moments that ensued for what you might have missed this morning on the DA.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour deflector shield shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Texas to Tuscaloosa, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
We're coming to you from our studios here, brought to you by Billy Jockalone. On the other side of the glass, it's Miraz. It's Bogish. Bogey. What a beautiful morning, man.
This is my favorite time of year, Sean. May, September as well here in New York. It's just the best. It's warm enough during the day for sure to dip in the pool. Cools off at night. Windows open for sleep. And this is the way it should always be.
Yeah, I did full-blown AC with the windows down last night. But I got to tell you, Bogues.
Wait, open windows and the AC?
No. Windows down.
Oh.
I've been doing open windows, but the pollen with the mucus.
That's right, the mucus.
So I finally went to the air conditioning. You're right. The pool's open, look good. A little chillier for the pool. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this is science. I've woken up in an extremely good mood, perhaps because I didn't have to stay up till midnight watching a sporting event last night, which was maybe a change of scenery for me. You get a little pep, a little energy. I feel a little lighter. I feel like I can move it. And also, you know, I parked my car a couple blocks away today. Got the free parking. No meter going off today. And the walk, you know, light out, folks, 5:15. Very light out.
Yeah.
Is that new?
I think it's new, not new altogether, but I did the other day. Was it yesterday or last week? I came up at the subway, and it caught me so off guard. I was confused. Like, did I have the wrong day?
Huh.
Am I strangely late? Because, yeah, it's not full sunlight. But nighttime's over at 5:30, which is seems bizarre, but I'll take it.
Now, granted, I got to come in here a little earlier than usual when I have the producing duties because, you know, Pete's not going to lift a finger. So maybe I'm just constantly seeing darkness. But today, knowing I was in the chair, it's like, wow,
yeah,
this is a mood changer. When you walk into work and it's light out, you don't feel as down.
But I just wish we had windows here inside.
I agree.
We used to, right? When we first started, didn't we have windows behind us?
We did.
When this was just a radio station?
And then, you know, Kaplan with the lights and everything like that. But yeah, so there you go. So there's our, you know, anybody who's up this early, by the way, listening to this, you know what we're talking about. Those days that alarm goes off and it's dark out. You arrive at work when it's still dark out. Sad scene. But nonetheless, it's not. Little tease ahead. Your leader, DA, right? Your mothership leader. He will join us in 3 hours, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. Yesterday, I'm not going to lie, you know, he should be relaxing, enjoying his days off. We're going to check in on fatherhood. There was a really jerk tweeter that said, quote, I got back on my little Debbie route the next day after my kid was born. And I don't know if that rattled some cages with DA.
I think it did. There was a response from the man himself.
I know that's why I saw him. But
so I think he's in the delivery truck this morning bringing the hot takes at 9 a.m.
So now he wants to join us at 9 a.m. Eastern. So we will have that going ahead. Kevin Wall is back at CBS Sports Radio. You would have thought, you know, this is A-Rod getting traded somewhere. I mean, there were hugs this morning. We'll check in with K-Wall. We'll find out if he still doesn't know what Christmas music is. And we'll have a good time. Remember, we are audio only, free on the Odyssey app, Sirius XM 158. Kaplan enjoying his days off. You want to talk about somebody who's not checking in at all, you'd have no idea if Cap is in Montana, home in Brooklyn, if he's alive or what.
But he was on the Twitter machine yesterday, too, liking the tweet that said, guys, leave Cap alone. He deserves vacation. You'll be okay without the stream. So they're always watching.
They're always watching. So away we go, me and Bogues for the next 4 hours. Champ and Chump still to come. Soundcheck still to come. Chris Lopresti's in here dressed like it's still Memorial Day. There was also another competing huge national radio show that asked the poll question after we did, what would you rather have off, Friday or
Is
Monday?
Is that true?
Oh, there was. So are we getting, if we're getting eyeballs, we might as well get cooking here on some sports, folks. Okay.
Well, I mean, we are the number 8 national sports radio show.
Somebody ranked ahead of us used our poll question.
And came after us in the day part. So they definitely knew it was ours.
Yeah, baby.
Can't do that.
Yeah, baby.
And that was my idea.
I was
specifically insulted.
You're an ideas guy. You're an ideas guy. Okay, and we'll also get more into Bob's Bar as well because the days are ticking away. We're almost 2 weeks away from the day at Big Bobberino's.
I'm feeling a little like I'm not doing enough. There's people, you're bringing in vendors, free this, free that.
People are coming
to see your booking guests, apparently. I've done nothing to contribute yet. My only role is collecting beers from DA.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to actually do something for this show soon.
We will figure it out, and I will also, maybe I'll transfer, I will just tease this ahead. Pete the Body had one job to do. One job to do. Yesterday, I received a text of him asking to do the job that he had already agreed to do.
He was giving it back to you.
As if it was his idea to begin with to give the job to me when... In a typical Pete move, we will grade this maneuver by Pete later as we tease at the Bob's Bar. All right. Now, we did leave here at 10 a.m. Eastern yesterday, 7 a.m. Pacific, and Bogues and I said today is going to be a lot looser. We're not coming off of Game 7. We have a couple days to go get to the NBA Finals. And I would be lying to you if I didn't start my car yesterday going, do we have a topic for tomorrow? Do we have a lead topic for tomorrow? And then a couple things happened. Well, Josh Hart asked the question, does anybody drink their significant other's breast milk? That can't be a lead, but that happened late last night. But also, Bob Myers, the architect, if you will, of the most modern of modern NBA dynasties. Although, taking credit when he didn't really draft Steph Curry, that's kind of a blemish. Either way, he steps down at 48 years old, leaving us to wonder. Is the Warriors dynasty dead? And should Bob Myers be a highly sought-after GM that gets hired and your guy gets fired immediately this offseason? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
This job, the one I'm in, and I would say this for any professional general manager or coach, requires complete engagement, complete effort, 1,000%. And if you can't do it, then you shouldn't do it. And so that's the answer to the question of why I can't do that to our players. I can't do that to Joe and Peter. Really, I can't do it to myself. You know, I've only known how to do things one way my whole life, is kind of all the way. And it doesn't feel right to do something when I can't give it everything, and that's what it takes to do what we've done over the last, for me, 12 years.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
All right, that, of course, is Bob Myers, who spent 12 years in charge of the Warriors franchise. He saw 4 NBA titles over the last 8 years before losing to the Lakers here in the Western Conference semifinal. the drafting of Steph Curry predated him, but still, you talk about building a finals team, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, all the parts that kept this thing going over the last couple of years. Re-injecting, finding Jordan Poole into Andrew Wiggins, and giving you that extra title there last year. Look, Bob Myers has been magnificent. Of course, the Kevin Durant deal, which is, you know, figuring out that one-year loophole, was unbelievably tremendous. Myers grew up in the Bay Area, was a fan of the Warriors growing up. He played basketball at UCLA. Imagine growing up rooting for your favorite franchise and then savvying your way into bringing that franchise its greatest run in its history when you grew up as a fan. That is how unbelievable job Bob Myers did. Now, the caveat is he's 48 years old, which means, look, if you could retire and do nothing at 48, that's fine. I don't think anybody thinks that. I'm going to give a fellow CBS Sports Radio host here a little credit. Zachary Gelb. Woof, woof. Zach Gelb had a thought I did not consider. Maybe it's an obvious thought, and, you know, I hadn't done enough deep diving on it. But Gelb's point was, is Myers stepping down now because he knows basically the dismantling of parts has to come? I mean, Draymond Green has a 1 year left player option, Klay Thompson another year left. Who knows, you know, how much longer those guys have as prime time players? Like, we can all question Draymond Green's. Curry is getting older. And did Bob Myers grow so close to the core of this team that basically for him, he'd rather get out now and be the first? It's like a parent who wants to die before their kids die. Get out now before he has to make the decisions on dismantling some of these guys and leave on good terms. I think that's possible. I think that's really possible. So my two-pronged approach here, Bogues, before we get your thoughts, is A, should you be letting go of your executive now? I mean, is he going to have, like, Danny Ainge went to Utah? Should, you know, even if you have a decent executive, should you want Bob Myers in here immediately? And number two, is this just the first sign that the Warriors and the Steph Curry era are done winning titles?
Well, I mean, the sign about them being done is that they're just all old, and Steve currently has 1 year left on his deal, so his future's a little bit uncertain, although I guess there is some inclination that he wants to continue coaching past next season. You know, my first thought was, does Steve Kerr jump into the front office,
Brad Stevens,
and then somebody else becomes the head coach, and they're moving forward? But what I read yesterday that would concern me, specifically for Bob Myers, and maybe the future of the Warriors, is there's multiple Lacob sons, Kirk and Kent. They have K names under owner Joe Lacob, and Joe wants his sons to have more say in things.
Boy, everybody's following that succession TV route.
Right. So that sounds, if you're like trying to read between the lines here, maybe Bob Myers is reading the room and going, dad and his two kids want to run this like a family business.
Right.
I don't need that headache competing with these, you know, two or three sons who have daddy's backing and unquestioned support. So
daddy's always happy.
Yeah, let me bounce now. But I do also, I trust Bob Myers' words a little bit that he just can't do the commitment anymore. So I would be surprised if after June 30th, when this deal is up, that he takes another job immediately.
Sits out a year.
Yeah, and he's also was an agent before this. We could just go back to having an agency.
Right,
and
that's
just
true.
Taking cuts of people's whatever. So I think this is more natural than anything else, but there are a couple of things to be maybe keep an eye on about how the Warriors are going to run themselves after this.
It's going to be a new look as we keep changing over here in the NBA. Good time to be a Sacramento Kings fan. Good time to be a Denver Nuggets fan, clearly, as the West landscape changes. 855-212-4227. That number, again, is 855-212-4CBS. All right, Bogues, the audience probably doesn't care about this guy. I care about this guy. I want to formally welcome back Kevin Wall into the fold. Kevin Wall was on the DA show rotation. He was actually one of Cap's backups, again, finding us in a spot here with no stream today where maybe Wall could have jumped back there, but Pete doesn't want to let know that one person can run that back there. Mm-hmm. Kevin, welcome back. You're in the producing chair today. How are you?
I am good. It is a pleasure to be back. I definitely missed you guys the last 6 months or so.
I was going to ask, how long actually was this? It was 6 months-ish you've been gone?
I would say by the end of October, I went to Connecticut. Obviously took a job with ESPN.
That's okay. Throw them right under the bus. They laid you off.
And it just didn't work out.
You were part of the layoffs that everybody knows publicly.
Yes, we can We can confirm that.
Yeah, I misspoke yesterday. I said that we sent you to AAA for more seasoning. It was more like it was more like the soccer like loan
it
setup.
It was one graphic that just went missing when I was filling in for Cap. That's it. That's it.
But we're happy to have Wall back, and Wall on his feet. I'm going to call my old job. I'm going to get my old job back, and he gets his job back. Now
it's like I never left.
It is like you never left. Here's the problem. I got two issues with you, and I was going to save it, but let's get right into it. Let's have some fun today. Number one. It feels like you think you're like a little bit of a conquering hero coming back here. There's a lot of bows, a lot of hugs. We love you, Wall, but, I mean, this ain't Rodgers going to the Jets here. Let's be real.
Oh, come on. According to Jack Stern, it is. Hey, bud. Hey there. Say that. It's just like,
I think he's just looking for allies, right?
I got to tell you. He has not changed one bit because he's just asking about questions. You know, I'm trying to get sound check going. I'm trying to get the cold open. I'm like, Jack, once I have time, I will tell you my experience. But he just wanted the full story at 5:15 in the morning.
That's
I'm just going to give it to him.
That's good. He's trying to be a friend, which is good.
No. And I'll definitely talk to him about that. But everyone's got the same questions. Like, where were you? Where'd you go? How was the experience?
You've been
all
gone?
That stuff.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. You are going to, and there's a reason I want to get this in the first hour. You understand how we do advanced analytics and a poll question of the day every day?
I do. I do remember.
You're going to be the subject of the poll question of the day, folks.
Beautiful.
And I want everybody's answer. Honesty.
Right.
You can look Wall in the eyes.
This will be tough to copy by other shows because they don't have Kevin Wall. So sorry, guys, we can't give you any programming today.
If you are rehired by a job in the first week of the job, are you allowed to ask for free tickets to an event? Because Kevin Wall, I saw, got the company Yankee seats, and he hasn't even been back here a week. Is that bad optics by Kevin Wall? I've been sitting on this one.
Yeah. You know what? He got the email offering the tickets. So
I still got the company emails over the months.
I understand that. We all got, put it this way, we have great seats that are taken up for sales clients. It happened to be a busy holiday week, so we all got an email from our company with being partners here in New York with the New York Yankees for tickets. Wall asked, or at least followed up with that email, sure, I'll take it in his first week back. Is that bad optics?
I'm going to say no.
No!
Official answer. Now, I don't think I would do it, but it's not bad optics.
Jock alone? Your company, you get rehired by a place in the first week, you get an email to the entire staff. Do you feel comfortable enough saying, yeah, I want those tickets?
No.
I would not either. Billy's right. Billy's got the right answer. So that's your poll question of the day. If you were rehired by a company and they have free tickets to an event, are you allowed to ask in your first week back? Yes or no? Your poll question of the day, give us that and your thoughts at Bob Myers, 855-212-4227, at Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogish. Wall is already sweating back there. He's going to be running for an ally in Jack Stern by hour three, I promise you. But you're not allowed to come back here and not allow us to drag you. So when we come back, your best audio of the day.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Johnny Damon getting hammered after the Celtics lose? It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
Granger.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, cut number one, Deshaun Watson. By the way, folks, I don't know if you know this. We are now today 99 days away from the first NFL game.
I do know that because I saw somebody tweet yesterday that was 100 days.
100.
100 days.
99. So we don't want to wish the summer away, but it's going to get here quickly.
This feels like John Rothstein, our good buddy, who's tweeting the countdown to college basketball opening day when we're just beginning the football season.
Yeah, I agree.
It feels out of place, but I understand why we're doing it.
I'm not a rush ahead of summer guy. I will also say this.
Except you've already declared it summer, and it's not summer yet. I mean, it is now post-Memorial Day, but last week, you're like, it's summertime
after my
birthday.
My birthday is May 13th. I've always planted the flag that that begins summer for me.
Right. So I don't rush summer except for that part, six weeks early.
Before we play this clip, you could look at it as 100 days. Here's an interesting tidbit for you. Does the Super Bowl feel like a long time ago or not a long time ago? Remember, we did Radio Faux Week and all of that.
Last Friday feels like a long time ago for me. So, yes, the Super Bowl feels like a long time ago.
Billy, Super Bowl, long time ago, not a long time ago?
Yes, long time ago.
Kevin Wall?
February 12th, 13th, whatever it is. Yeah, 3.5 months.
All right.
Long time ago.
Then you guys have nothing to worry about because here's your factoid of the day. On Sunday was exactly 15 weeks since the Super Bowl and exactly 15 weeks until the first Sunday of the NFL.
Whoa.
So if that felt like a long time ago, you have a long time to go.
Okay, good.
To the next one. You're exactly at that halfway point of the Super Bowl and the next season. All right. But Deshaun Watson, what are his thoughts 100 days out on the football season?
Yeah, me and D-Hop, we just naturally talk. We've been talking since, you know, the Houston days. And then also whenever he left for Arizona, we were always talking. So, you know, he's always been a brother of mine since I was coming out of high school. Our connection, our relationship has always been great. And I know it's a lot of things swirling around in the media of, you know, him possibly coming to Cleveland. And, you know, for me, my answer to that is, of course, we would love to have him. He knows that. We had a lot of connections, but, you know, that's kind of out of my range of things of kind of coordinating things. So all I can do is, you know, make a call and see what happens. Let AB do the rest.
That's an interesting spot for DeAndre Hopkins. He did have a good rapport, if you will, with Deshaun Watson. They have Amari Cooper there as well. I think, Bogues, you can make a case that the Cleveland Browns are the biggest WTF who knows team heading into the 2023 season. It's almost as if we publicly accept that the Browns won't be very good because they weren't very good last year, when the reality is, you know, Deshaun Watson's paid a ton of money. He now no longer has the excuse of not playing for a while, as far as Russ being shaken off. And he was paid, and we all thought at one point he was one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, I look up at that. Why can't the Browns make the playoffs? And if you think the Browns can't make the playoffs, they have a really good defense. It's because you don't think Watson's very good anymore.
There was Deshaun Watson fatigue, I think. People didn't want to also be nice to him and them coming off of everything that was attached to him. And we move on quickly. So I feel like now we've like forgotten that they kind of let us down last year. We've moved, a lot of people have moved off of whatever Deshaun Watson angst and reservations they've had. And you're right. I mean, when you look at this roster, a quality offensive line, the possibility of a high-end quarterback, Nick Chubb's as good as any running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Za'Darius Smith is new with Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward in the back end. Grant Delpit can play as well. It's a really deep team. And then Hopkins, you throw that in the mix, makes them that much better, gives them that much more potential on offense.
Yeah.
And I think this division and the AFC East might be the two best in football. Three and a half good teams in them. We're going to count the Patriots politely at the bottom of the AFC East.
Eh.
But you're right. I mean, this team is good to begin with. You throw Hopkins in there, and you want to put them near the top of that AFC North? Like, can you get that far?
But that's the thing. That's why they're a big WTF. They're not the Bengals. I kind of sneakily, maybe not so sneakily, really like the Steelers this year. I'm really intrigued by Kenny Pickett, year number two. But if Deshaun Watson is still able to be a top seven quarterback in the NFL, then why would I so quickly dismiss the Cleveland Browns?
I don't think you can.
I think they're maybe the Broncos are the next notch under them as far as I really don't know what to expect. But the Browns, I think, are at the top of the list in the NFL this year.
Let's do some baseball here in New York. Last night, the Mets got a 2-0 win over the Phillies. Kodai Senga was great. At one point, though, he got a visit at the mound from Francisco Lindor. Here's the Mets shortstop with the explanation on SNY.
Did you tell Senga when you had that meeting on the mound with him? I think it was during the Schwarber at-bat.
We were just trying to figure out what the pitch count was saying, and if we can hear or not. And then... there's not much I can say because he doesn't really understand what I'm saying. and I don't understand what he says. So pretty much the whole thing was to get him to get back in track, make sure the pitch count works, and to finish the at-bat.
So the Mets last night had a pitcher who's from Japan.
Yes.
Their young catcher, Francisco Alvarez, who doesn't speak a lot of English himself.
Yeah.
So, and then Lindor comes in bilingual, but not Japanese.
Not either of the buys he needed
right.
to be.
And they're just looking at buttons, pressing buttons, thumbs up, thumbs down, raising eyebrows, and it somehow all worked.
Yeah, well, good. He finally had a good start. Now if only he could pitch every 5 days.
Well, he pitches well at home. That seems to be the issue here, is those games not at Citi Field.
He likes home. This home.
Yeah. Was that a pun? I'm not, my toes now. Is that supposed to be funny or a chuba?
No, I mean... No, he just likes pitching at all.
Oh, all right. You had that was your pun delivery.
Was it? I didn't do a
it
long
felt
wind
like
up
it
there.
To me, yeah.
Okay. All right, last but not least, a guy who actually knows about winning in New York, Johnny Damon, tweets out a video wishing the Celtics good luck. The problem is it was 20 minutes after the Heat had already won.
Everybody, Johnny Damon here, the only team that has come back from a 3-0 deficit. I want to wish everybody a happy Memorial Day and thank you for all our military for keeping our country the best in the world. Thank you so much. And let's see what the Celtics can do. I mean, a 3-0 deficit is very hard to come back from, and they have a chance to do it tonight. May the best team win. All my best. And this was the greatest comeback of all time. Let's see what happens tonight.
All right. So... Before a full-blown laugh, it should be acknowledged that Johnny Damon has had some speech, I want to say impediment issues, if I'm not mistaken, in his life.
He's also had some partying issues
as well. I was going to be my next spot. So choose your lane on what you think this more so is. He, I think, was enjoying Memorial Day weekend. That was the vibe I got. He's showing off the ring outside, basically on the wiffle ball field. He's hammered. Now, I don't love the idea that he's going to a Boston there. I consider him more a Yankee at this point in his life.
That seems convenient.
I mean,
we're coming off the fact that he's hitting the Grand Slam that ends the greatest comeback of all time for the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium.
He's a hero with the 2 stolen bases in the 2009 World Series in the same play.
We'll always have those.
And that is the most recent championship run he's had. But boy, was he tanked up there. Boy, was he tanked up. And by the way, somebody let him... You know what happened, I bet? He probably went to tweet out the video and it didn't load right away. And then loaded into the game and it was whatever.
Now, it also needs to be pointed out that this is Kevin Wall's gift to us. He was so excited to find this, to share it with us. Cannot wait for this to be in soundcheck. Then he shows up this morning only to find that Johnny Damon had deleted... the video.
No,
that
tweet.
Is true.
So now Wall's angry on a wild goose chase, asking everybody if they've already recorded it. Does it exist anywhere? Then he finds it, and you'd think he just found a winning lotto ticket.
I think it's hysterical. You know what this reminded me of? And
no.
I lived this from experience last week. I was at a wedding. My friend got married. My ex-girlfriend was the maid of honor. And if I had a couple too many drinks, you know, I'm thinking about the glory days, the past, like, oh, I love you, you know.
For you, not her.
You're saying things that you would regret right away. That's exactly what Johnny Damon did. And the thing was, it was tweeted 3 hours after tip-off.
After. Now you sound like Johnny Damon. I agree. Well, can I give you a little credit here?
Sure.
And we can lower the sound check bed. And Billy is a, like, anybody watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Okay, you remember the guy who lives in the tree, the three-eyed raven before Bran takes over?
Yes.
Billy Jockalone is the three-eyed raven of CBS Sports Radio. He sits from his perch in the newsroom and he observes everything. He watches everything, yeah. And he's got a thought on everything. He watches the world go by.
But do you see the future, Billy?
He can, I think, sometimes.
I don't know. I say stuff. I say plenty of stuff. Yeah. I don't know where this is coming from.
This is a far more complimentary.
This is about to be really complimentary.
Oh, it
Billy.
Is.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm sorry if that setup didn't help.
I would have put you in the Shire if we're going to put you in some kind of sci-fi
Philly,
movie.
This is why you don't. He doesn't have to name names,
mm-hmm.
but we're all going on a wild goose chase to land us a very funny sound check. Is it fair to say that that's more work than many put in the building to try to find something to make a show better behind the scenes?
No, I think that's a good amount of effort, though. But
we have to applaud it because it doesn't happen often enough.
Of course, no, it does not.
And by the way, including from me.
Well, all right, fine. Thanks for adding that. But before that, why were you randomly taking a shot at people? Just be nice to Kevin Wall for finding it.
I was giving Wall credit.
But then you're by putting Billy on the spot to say that the other guys don't do their job around here.
Because Billy's the three-eyed raven. He knows. He knows.
You know what it is? I'm not a Game of Thrones guy.
So you don't get what I mean.
So I didn't see it. I'm not into like the wizard stuff. So I didn't know what was
just
coming
just the Washington
here.
Wizards. Not the... Just that. That's fair. You're the three-eyed raven. Listeners out there got it. All right, now a guy who's dressed up like the Yankee hat logo, Chris Lopresti here. Chris.
Love this shirt.
He's in Stars and Stripes,
yeah.
Which is nice. It's a nice shirt.
Yeah.
But it's a typical Memorial Day, 4th of July shirt. It almost looks like it's been laying on your couch since Monday and you threw it back on for a Wednesday.
It's fresh out of the wash. Did not wear it over Memorial Day weekend. It was buried in the hamper from a couple weeks ago when I played a round of golf. So
wow.
I figured might as well extend Memorial Day weekend here. I wasn't around these parts for the holiday. There's never a bad time to be patriotic. That's the way I see it.
Now, you're somebody that works a lot.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, under a normal circumstance, would you rather have the Friday off or the Monday off on a holiday weekend?
I'll take the Monday off. 100%.
We're all in lockstep. We're in lockstep. Now that guess what? It's already Wednesday.
Problem is I didn't have either off.
Well. You're here now.
Yes, I am.
All right. What do you
Yes, I am. And I'm sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, that's a lot of things. Bundled today at progressive.com. Bob Myers out as president and GM of the Warriors. After 12 years, he announced yesterday that he is indeed stepping down.
For any professional general manager or coach requires complete engagement, complete effort, 1,000%. And if you can't do it, then you shouldn't do it. And so that's the answer to the question of why.
Just can't commit the way he feels he needs to. His contract expires at the end of June, and he said he turned down a stake in ownership and increased pay, so not about the money. Warriors majority owner Joe LaCobb in a bit of denial about the whole thing. He said, quote, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I understand it because I don't. And he then added this.
We're going to miss him incredibly, and I wish him the success. All the success in the world and whatever he decides to do. And who knows, maybe he'll be back with us at some point in the future. I'm not going to give up that easily.
You're going to kill me and I'm not trying to throw you under the bus.
Uh-huh.
Am I nuts or is it Lacob or is it LaCobb?
I thought it was LaCobb.
I thought it was Lacob.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I was going to be a gentleman though and ask you about it in the break.
I was
interesting.
Not. Yeah. I was going to. No, but now I don't
like anytime I've heard his name, it was LaCobb. Okay. Lacob. Fine. Great.
Corn on LaCobb.
So all day yesterday as I was saying it incorrectly elsewhere, no one corrected me.
So maybe I'm a good friend then.
Maybe you are.
But I shouldn't have done it on the air, right?
No, I'm glad you did, actually.
Because now I'm wondering if I got it wrong.
How about that?
Kevin Wall, what do you think? You know, Billy, what do you think is the three-eyed raven? Is it Joe Lacob or LaCobb?
Lacob.
Okay.
I'm going to say Joe Lacob.
Wow.
I trust Billy's NBA intellect. Because if he doesn't know the NBA, I don't know.
I'm a big pronunciation guy, too. I get on people. So I got to take a major L on that one.
No, because if you're saying it right, then we're saying it wrong.
Well,
so somebody in the show has to figure it out.
Listen, it's 3-1 already. So
yeah.
If Kevin wants to make it 4, then I think
that's... Yeah, I'm team Billy on this one, too.
Well, you're team everyone, not me, is what you are.
I apologize.
No, you don't need to apologize. I'm the one that should
sucks.
Be apologizing.
That means Chris did updates. Well, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, that is.
Mad at him.
That is.
Almost as embarrassing as his shirt.
What's embarrassing about the shirt, honestly?
It's actually nothing. I like the
right,
shirt.
Exactly.
You look better than I do today.
I got that, you know when I wore this at a bachelor party of our good buddy out in Las Vegas?
Oh.
And people were like, what is this, a July 4th barbecue? And I'm like, I didn't realize there was a bad time to wear a patriotic American shirt.
That's a good point, Chris.
What are
That's
we doing
a good
here?
Point. That's a good point.
Right?
You're right.
Was that part of your flag and anthem makeover?
It was not.
Okay.
No. I like this shirt a lot better than... You know what?
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to
oh,
just...
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to finish that sentence.
Look out.
Anyway, did you catch where Joe Lacob also was after he said, I'm going to make Bob Myers work till the end of his contract and get as much out of him as I can. And Bob Myers basically, the look on his face suggested he had no idea. Looked at his wife and basically shrugged his shoulders. Like, I didn't agree to any of that.
Well, that's also code for if we make you work towards the end, then nobody's going to hire you this year.
I suppose that would be part of it as well.
At least, yeah, through the draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, he did say that, through the draft, for sure. To baseball now, Aaron Judge did it yet again last night in Seattle.
Judge lifts this one deep to left field. Backing up on it is Pollock. He's near the warning track. He's at the wall. He leaps, and it's gone! A home run! Aaron Judge, for the second night in a row, leaves the ballpark. That's three home runs in two games for the captain.
Justin Shackle on the WFAN Yankees Radio Network.
Awesome. Awesome on Yankees play-by-play.
Well, he's had quite a few games in a row now to build up a rhythm.
Awesome. I'm all in.
Part of a 10-2 stomping of the Mariners in Seattle. That's his 18th homer in his 46th game, which matches the pace he set in his record-breaking 2022 season. That's a little misleading, though, because he did have a stint on the IL already, and the Yankees just finished their 57th game. Did I do something wrong again now?
No, not at all.
Okay, very good.
Ignore us.
Other notables from last night, Dodgers dumped the Nationals 9-3. Freddie Freeman, 4-for-5 with a homer to extend his hitting streak to 19 games. The A's topped the Braves 2-1, scored the winning run on an Atlanta fielding error for only their second instance of back-to-back wins this season. Got a little behind-the-scenes audio of Mark Kotze pregame addressing his club in the clubhouse.
We won a game yesterday. We win one today. That's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak. It has happened before. So let's see some hustle. Let's jack it up a little. I got a feeling things are about to turn around for us.
Watch out for those 12-45 Oakland A's.
Well, let me ask you guys this. The other day on TV here in New York, Gary Cohen and Howie Rose, the TV and radio voices of the Mets, who are lifelong Met fans, diehard Met fans, Gary was sharing a conversation he had off-air with Howie because the 62 Mets right now have the record for the worst record ever. And they both agree that they want the A's to be better than that team because they somehow, they want to keep that mark for themselves. They don't want the 62 Mets to lose any luster.
I like that.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
If you're not going to win everything, I'd rather be known for being the worst at something.
And that was their first season in existence, correct?
Yeah, so that's why.
There's some charm to that, I
think. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then 7 years later, they win a World Series.
Yeah, I'm with that. I want to be known as being part of the worst thing ever. I try it every morning.
If you're not first, you're last.
Exactly.
There you go. Elsewhere, Kodai Senga, 7 innings of 1-hit ball, 9 strikeouts. Mets blank the Phillies 2-0. And Jose Barrero's 7th-inning grand slam helped the Reds hold off the Red Sox 9-8 after Boston rallied for 5 in the 9th, but they have now dropped 6 out of 8. How about Bengals wideout Tyler Boyd feeling himself a bit yesterday? He believes he was the missing factor that kept his team from making back-to-back Super Bowl appearances.
Whoa.
You'll recall he injured his thigh early in the AFC title game loss to the Chiefs and could not finish. Since he ended up losing by 3, and now Boyd says, quote, still to this day, I feel like I would have played the whole game. I was the key factor. We would have won the game.
Wow. Boyd meets world.
Tuba.
I don't know if that was the pun voice, but it was something.
I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Not
that
bad.
Smile, that you-know-what eating smile
oh,
is the
yeah.
pun smile,
right.
Yeah.
Yes, just kind of let that dangle out there for us to...
So there was a show when we were younger called Boy Meets World.
Oh, no, I'm familiar with the show. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow, you're creative.
Yeah. I'm tipangling an angle.
Oh,
nope,
God.
That one doesn't work.
God. You love the play on words, you really do.
I do.
Especially in the sports minutes, I've picked up on that.
You do it in sports minutes,
too? Oh, my God.
That's where I workshop most of my material.
Last thing here. The NHL coaching carousel continues to turn. Nashville fired John Hines, reportedly going with Andrew Burnett as his replacement. He spent this past season on the Devil's staff after serving as Panthers interim head coach last season, helping them capture the President's Trophy.
I would have thought they would have hired a blonde.
Oh, boy. You should have stuck with the boy. Just the boy meets world, and that's it for this hour. One per update segment.
All right.
How's that?
All right. That's not a bad plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
So work on something better than the brunette blonde.
Can I just
for next
bring
hour.
Up that Bogus doesn't want to admit that he liked that one?
Is that why he's not making eye contact with
you? I don't like
you?
Any of them anymore because there's so many of them. If you get to one an hour, like CeeLo just suggested, then I might be able to enjoy that.
All right. CeeLo, you might have actually came up with a good plan.
Yeah. You went too far. You got a little too aggressive.
All right.
You bit off more than you could chew.
That's where we're going to go.
Yeah.
All right. We come back.
If I made you the tease, when we come back, good tweet, bad tweet.
Oh.
And whatever Sean wants to do.
It's going to be a good day here on CBS Sports Radio. It's Mraz. It's Bogus here. A beautiful, beautiful Wednesday, Bogues. We still have Champ and Chump coming up a little bit later on this hour. Next hour, Stun to a News, and I can tell you Chris Lopresti stewing out in the newsroom has a heck of a Stun to a News for us.
Does he?
It was a story I think I wanted to talk about regardless of Stun to a News, so we're going to bring it to you in Stun to a News.
And on this note, I should thank, I have been more than usual overrun by stunned suggestions from the listeners, so I appreciate all you guys sending them to me. I've started to hand them out to everybody who's doing my job while you and I are sitting here. So, or I'm going to have them all to myself when I get back in the update chair next Tuesday. So
nice.
If you're waiting to hear your stunned suggestion, we've got a backlog. So it's coming at some point.
It's coming, baby. It's coming. Our poll question of the day is a very longly worded, and that's my fault because I worded it that way, poll question. Essentially, the premise is this. If you get hired by a job and your company offers the entire company a selection of free tickets to an event, should you feel comfortable enough asking for them?
Immediately, in the first week
employment.
Or re-employment.
Yeah. So the backstory on that is Kevin Walls returned to CBS Sports Radio, Bon Jovi's biggest fan.
That's right.
And he is here, and he already has attended a free event from our company in the first week he was back.
Did you do a Bon Jovi song recently in Canadian Bacon?
Shot through the Reinhardt. And you're too late. You gave goals a bad name.
Girls, what's my weakness?
Goals.
Goals.
Canadian Bacon, by the way, not returning until Monday morning.
Yeah, and then again, a bonus day of prep for whoever's going to do it on Monday.
Bonus. All right. Yesterday, Bogues, I had an on-air idea. You know what we say, we're ideas guys around here.
You in particular.
Yeah. No, you had an idea last hour.
It won.
Whatever it was. I already forgot what it was. But it was an idea. A good tweet, bad tweet.
And then Wall just destroyed it.
Yeah.
Stupid Schwartz.
Wall will learn the games again.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Did I do that one well?
Oh!
I did it!
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Okay. Derek White hits that buzzer beater on Saturday almost incredibly. And first, before we talk about it, Bogus, you showed me there was a wedding video.
Yes.
Out. Okay. Explain this wedding video. And by the way, maybe if we find it, I'll retweet it at Mraz CBS. You can play along at home.
I definitely retweeted it.
You retweeted it. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a nice, fancy wedding, and there's a bunch of dudes in their tuxes sitting around a fancy table at a reception hall, and they're like good guys would. They're watching the end of the Heat game, of game six, on their phones, and they're sitting and they're standing and they watch Marcus Smart's three go in the air, and as it rims out, they go nuts. Everyone's singing and dancing. Somehow the wedding already, I guess, because they're Heat super fans, the wedding had a Heat flag. So there's a person running with the Heat flag.
Like you would see if you go to an NBA game, the court, like
right.
In between commercials.
Yeah, the Heat arena crew was at this wedding. They've got like a smoke gun they're shooting off. They're going bonkers. We won. Let's go, Heat. And then the last frame of the video is the one guy who's still looking at the phone, and his face is broken because he now knows that Derek White had the putback. And this entire celebration was completely a waste of time.
Insane. So people thought this was fake. I don't think it's fake at all. First of all, to get a whole wedding to act, it would just be the incredible amount of finances you would need to pull off that.
Yeah, the idea was that they like went back and like redid this. But that entails there was a wedding and they decided to be funny after the fact, but that's a lot of pre-planning.
Right. And you would be, by the way, if you're at a wedding filming a guy watching and seeing the celebration.
Yeah, like, of course. Thinking they're going to win the East and get back to the finals, you'd be filming the potential celebration.
And I'm going to hammer this point home. This happened when I argued with the fans in San Diego over the Final Four Padres thing. It happened when I made the case about Christmas Day football being stupid. I keep getting this thrown in my face. Whenever I have a problem with the way games air or, you know, double-tasking, you know, it's so easy to stream and watch a game on your phone these days. You really have no excuse. just watch it at the dinner table, like down on the phone. This is exactly my point. Guys, when you're watching a game on a 2-inch screen on your phone, it is not the same as sitting down and watching on TV. It's not. And these guys, because they're sitting there with it leaned up against a water cup or a champagne flute at a wedding, this thing crashed down. They're barely squinting at the screen. They can't see so clearly that there was a follow-up, and they don't have game sound on because the DJ's blaring. So, of course, you miss the, hold on, wait a minute, Derek White's hit it in. So stop telling me it is so easy to watch. Now, it's great to have that as a companion in emergencies. Last year, I was at a wedding during a Ranger-Carolina playoff game that I did not want to be at. Guess what? I was on the dance floor watching the game. But don't tell me I had the same experience watching the game. I would have much rather been watching the game at home. All right. I say this to say that's an incredible moment. These people at the wedding will always remember this moment. But we brought up yesterday, now that the Celtics didn't really lose Game 7, Derek White hits a buzzer beater in Game 6. It felt like the biggest deal in the world. I saw tweets from people in Boston saying Derek White will have a statue outside of TD Garden. A statue! A statue! Think about the legends the Celtics have had play there. Hey, Bill Russell, Larry Bird, Derek White's going to have a statue? And it brought up the point. Is anybody going to remember that he had this buzzer beater? And we debated big moments in sports. We brought up the curse catch in that Super Bowl with the Seahawks. You brought up Andy Chavez. New York, that's a big one because the Mets have this amazing catch. They end up losing Game 7 of the NLCS. And it's something, anytime a sports moment happens in New York like this, we bring up Andy Chavez. But I think curse is a better one because everybody remembers that Super Bowl. And there's other moments in history where this has happened. And Derek White is just another log on that fire. Nobody is going to remember it. At least that was my belief. And yesterday, the conversation continued on CBS Sports Radio. Robert Horry. Stu Kovacs was able to book Robert Horry in the middle of running the stream and the board, as we alluded to yesterday. He gets Big Shot Bob on, and Big Shot Bob is asked by Emmett P., Maggie and Perloff, about how that Derek White shot will be remembered.
Derek White's buzzer beater game 6. Is this like an all-timer, or how are we going to remember it? Because ultimately, the Celtics lost the series.
Dad, you just said it. When you lose the series, it don't really mean much because it was for naught. Even though it was a great play by him, but unfortunately, they lost the series. So it won't be remembered because the way, especially against an eight seed knocking off your 2 seed. So there's so many things that's going to downplay that shot. So I hate it for him, but they're not going to remember it.
He's right.
Yeah.
And that's the guy who's hit a lot of big shots, won titles. He's right. It feels, because we're still a less than a week removed from where we all sat on Saturday night, Memorial Day weekend, when the jaws dropped, going, oh my goodness, the Celtics once down 3-0. And
so,
oh no, I can't even finish my thought.
As Robert Horry's talking, I go, you know what? I haven't seen the Jermaine curse catch in a while. So I Google it, pull it up, NFL.com, top 10 catches of all time. It's number 6. They play the highlight, and guess who's the first talking head to break it down? Damon Amendolara.
DA on the NFL top 10. So it's the number 6 greatest catch in NFL history, according to NFL Network.
Yep.
Okay, so there you go. And that moment didn't matter because all that game's remembered for is not Kurz catching the ball. It's Butler picking it off because they didn't run with Marshawn.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened here. Derek White won't be remembered. We'll remember that the Celtics no-showed in Game 7. In fact, I think there's a really good chance we forget when thinking about the Celtics getting blown out in home at Game 7. And you talk about the Celtic era, Tatum, Brown, okay? Everything that's gone into it. There is a good chance we remember them being blown out in Game 7 at home and forget that they got it back to a Game 7 by originally being down 3-0 in the series.
Yeah, it's like the butterfly effect, right? For Derek White's shot to live for forever,
yeah.
I actually think they had to win the whole thing, not just have won Game 7 to get to the finals.
Yes.
They'd have to win the title so that shot could be, this is what got them to the title. So even if they had won Game 7, then lost to the Nuggets, it would have taken a significant hit in people's memories. And that's, so it's got nothing left now.
Yeah.
And
no.
If the Nuggets win, you're just going to go Nuggets beat the Heat, and that's it. Now, if Miami wins, the story of Miami winning the whole thing maybe breathes a little more life into the Derek White shot because it's part of Miami's
They almost survived it.
Right, almost blowing the 3-0 lead in the conference final. And then they upset the Nuggets as one of the greatest all-time postseason runs. The white shot stays with some cachet in that conversation. But if the Nuggets win this series, only Derek White will remember that shot.
You're probably right. You're probably right. And I think there's certain things that are different, right? I think that it happened. I think the game itself in football has to end. Like, the curse play happens and the team loses the game. I think in basketball, it's about losing the series. You know what I mean? Like, football-wise, for instance, Andrew Luck orchestrates that amazing comeback. Or the Bills with Frank Reich have that amazing comeback. The Niners, the Trey Junking, the amazing comeback. Mm. None of those teams who had those amazing playoff comebacks won Super Bowls. But I don't think it minimizes those moments because they won an individual playoff game in a sport that's one and done. Is that fair?
Yeah, right, yes.
Like, those moments will live on forever, even though those teams didn't get championships. So
yeah, because it is like winning the series, winning one NFL game.
So the idea that they lost the actual series that this White moment happened in, I think, makes a huge difference. Like, for instance, I'll give you a Yankee one. 2001 World Series, Mr. November. Derek Jeter hits the home run. The team wins the game. They lose the series. Who cares about that moment now? Now, I know there was extra, you know, stuff around that. New York feeling good, 9-11.
When, also, like what we said yesterday, Derek White is not Derek Jeter. So, like, in Jeter, when you're talking, is an all-timer, obviously.
Right.
His story is going to be told, and that will be part of it. Those home runs, with the caveat of, well, they actually didn't win that one. Like, Derek White's not going to be a historical NBA player.
No.
On his own, outside of that shot where, you know, oh, remember Derek White? Oh, remember game six in the conference
final? Right.
So there's not going to be a need to talk about, I think, unfortunately for him, Derek White in general, and then specifically the game six putback.
And that at its core, that's why I just find that moment so amazing. Because, I mean, look, you don't want to do Twitter as the end-all, be-all, but, you know, that's kind of like the world's great chat room, right? I mean, Saturday night, I get home. We had a nice little, you know, family out and get the kids to bed. I was home in time for the second half of that game. I was listening to the first half of the ride home on the radio. Sitting down and watching that game, I was by myself. And I sat there almost stunned for 10 minutes at what I had seen. And to think about living in that moment, and I'm not even a Celtic fan or a Heat fan, just a sports fan. It felt like the NBA world was locked in, even on a holiday weekend. To think about that moment being meaningless now, just a couple of days later, is kind of wild. I just find that wild to me.
Right. I mean, and in the immediate aftermath, I mean, I thought instantly, like, don't even play game seven. The Heat are not coming back from this.
I thought pretty quickly the Heat would be okay and win, and I definitely thought that by Sunday morning. But you're right. I mean, that's a collective thought everybody had, which was, I mean, that's an unbelievable moment. You could even make the case people thought the Celtics would now go beat Denver. Like, that was going to be the moment that lived forever in Celtic lore.
At the very least, that seemed like the conference finals winning shot.
Yeah.
Because it was going to lead to a game seven that couldn't have matched that, and that moment would have been where the series was decided. But apparently, it was just in the wrong direction because the Heat had the perfect reaction to it.
One too many oopsies tweets in, Bogues, at Mraz CBS. The Derek White buzzer beater is just like the Jay Crowder buzzer beater for the Suns. No one remembers it. And I could tell you, I don't remember the Jay Crowder buzzer, but when was that?
Right.
Was that the year they made the finals? Was that this year? I don't remember any of this.
I mean, it had to be the finals year because otherwise it wouldn't matter at all. It wouldn't be worth remembering. It had to be that year, but I don't remember any specifics about it.
I don't either. So one too many oopsies is right.
Yeah.
Clearly that was a big deal to Suns fans.
Leaving here yesterday, because as you mentioned with the Andy Chavez catch, I feel like this conversation immediately takes you to like the worst case moments or even the best case for your teams. And the Tyree and the Manningham catches popped into my head.
Yeah.
That thank God neither one of those
losses
is on this list.
Yes. Yeah, they're unbelievable.
Like, imagine if the Tyree catch got the Giants ahead and then they gave up points and lost to the Patriots.
I think it would be forgotten like the curse play.
Yeah.
Instead, it's maybe the greatest Super Bowl catch right up there with Santonio Holmes of all time. And the Manningham's right there, which is kind of unbelievable from a Giant fan point of view. They probably have two of the top five Super Bowl catches of all time.
Although I still think the Eli throw to Manningham is the better part of the play.
Totally. But you know how it's going to get graded down. The dragging of the feet and everything. Those two Super Bowls is unbelievably epic. Yeah, that's sports. And that's why we do what we do, right? We talk about the moments. It was nice to talk about with Bogish. We had moments. DJ Tommy D tweets in, can I ask DA a couple questions at 9 a.m.? First off, congratulations are in order. Second, who out of all the listeners would be the perfect babysitter? And out of curiosity, does the baby already have a full set of teeth? DA becomes daddy. DA. I could tell you there's no way the baby has a full set of teeth because that takes a little bit. I was looking at my daughter Peyton yesterday, who's a year and a half old, and I'm not convinced all her teeth are ever going to grow.
Ever?
I mean, she's got like a missing middle part. It's like, I don't know what's going on.
They're all over the place. There's nothing consistent. Yeah. There doesn't go in a straight line. You know that.
But a listener to be a good babysitter?
I think Carly with a K would, coming off of yesterday's call.
A good one. Mariana, I think, would be a good one. Adriana would be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean,
we haven't named a man yet.
I know. I was going to say, maybe this is very sexist. The first people that come to mind, I just don't trust the men that listen to the show.
Tommy Topspin seems reliable.
Let me tell you something about Tommy Topspin.
Okay.
First of all, I'll get to his tweet in a couple minutes. Tommy Topspin felt like a troll on social media for a long time. He came to the Bob's Bar show last year.
Yeah.
One of the couple listeners that made the trip out. He could not have been any more a normal human being. And I say that in the like most complimentary way possible. Sure. Does he root for the Celtics and Cowboys, two teams I hate, and he roots for the Mets? Sure. But that doesn't make him a bad person. He brought donuts. He hung out. And you could just tell, like, having beers with him. Oh, this dude's just like,
yeah,
he's a regular guy. Like, if Tommy Topspin was my next-door neighbor, I guarantee we would hang out all the time. That's right. I think that's a guy that could have that. Now, he also tweeted a picture earlier, bogus, asking to grade his mulch job. Freshly mulched front gardens, how's it look? And homeowners out there, it looks fine. Here's the problem. It's brown mulch. I think you go black mulch or bust as a homeowner these days, don't you? What's the bogus ass
I've
doing?
Never made the mulch decision myself, so I got to abstain from this conversation.
Your wife does?
I got a guy.
And he just decides what he's going to bring over?
Yeah.
Brown mulch?
You know what? To be honest, I don't currently have mulch on my property. I got one around my house.
Really? What do you do with your flower beds or whatever you got in there?
So I just have like topsoil. I don't have, there is no mold. There's no stinky mulch on my house.
Front of your house. You have like hostas plants, a little tree, anything like that? How do you decorate the front of your house?
Well, we have mostly grass.
Okay.
And then there's one little like underneath the front window. There's like, I don't know, like three or four bushes and then one tree.
And in those bushes and tree, you don't pour mulch onto them?
No.
So the mulch also serves as very in-depth.
It smells terribly, so I would know if we had it.
Only for the first day.
So I would know if we had it.
It serves a coating. It does make the flowers bloom a little nicer. It pretties up your property. But brown mulch, Tommy, come on. You can do better than that. You can do better than that. All right, that's been your homeowner hot take of the day.
Thank God you're here for that.
All right. It's me and Bogus. DA going to join us in a little less than 2 hours from right now. When we come back, though, should the Saints be using John Gruden to help Derek Carr? It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's champ or chump.
Oh, boy. It's champ or chump time. My champ, and it was hit on earlier in the update. How about the A's? They've won 2 games in a row. They've gotten up to 12 wins on the year. And that's a winning streak, my friend. The Oakland A's, who are just dealing with basically this exit strategy of getting out to Las Vegas. At least the players right now, a little spunk. And how about beating the Braves? A pretty damn good team.
I'll take it.
But a little embarrassing for the Braves to be losing games to the Oakland A's if you're a World Series contender. But simply put, the Oakland A's, maybe the worst team we've seen in forever. Guess what? Back-to-back wins for at least a week. I got to call you a champ.
That's DA's champ.
I'll handle chump. It'll be close to home here. The New York Knicks, they're making their own GM change. I think Chris Asilo's mentioned this. Scott Perry is not coming back as GM, but the chump is the Knicks don't talk.
Yeah.
The Knicks and their brain trust, their front office, have not had a press conference, I think, going back like more than a full season. They just don't discuss anything. And that's not how this works. You need to answer questions. You need to explain things. I assume they'll have a conversation publicly about Scott Perry leaving when maybe they hire his replacement, but they might not because they just seem to think that they don't have to answer anybody's questions. So The Knicks, chumps.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
Ramona tweets in, and this is a really important tweet, I think, to the fabric of the show. Mraz, if you ever make it to New Orleans, don't make your brass band comment here. It's a big thing here. No second line parade for you. I agree with her. And this is where I kind of broad brushed it. What I mean and what I picture about going to a brass band festival is not like the fun marching through the streets playing the tuba type brass band. It's like set up on a stage, the boring, here we go with the tuba, the trombone. Not the party style brass band. Do you understand the difference, Bogues?
Well, yeah, but you're assuming that this thing in Kentucky is not that. It's not the fun type, and you could be wrong.
Maybe I am, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll deal with it. But no, fun, I like a good marching band. Like, I like that. I just don't like, orchestras, all that stuff sitting up on stage. We get it. Trans-Siberian Christmas time. Who needs to go see that? The DA Show continues next, CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, this is what you
as
do.
Usual.
Speaking of which, let's forget the baseball because we need to get to this, and I definitely need your take on this. So without further ado, let's get done.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's go. Let's go.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA Show is stunned to a news.
All right, so Robert De Niro and Al Pacino are best buddies, as you might know. And there's probably been some friendly, spirited competition over the years, but this might be taking it to a new level. So we recently learned that the 79-year-old De Niro became a father for the 7th time, welcoming a child with his girlfriend. His oldest child, I believe, is in his late 40s now. So he has a baby less than a year old, and the 40-year-old is going on 50 soon enough. Quite the gap. Well, I guess Pacino didn't want to be left out. Just revealed, I believe yesterday or last night, the 82-year-old is set to welcome his 4th child as his 29-year-old girlfriend, Noor Alfala, is reportedly 8 months pregnant with what is believed to be her first child, while Pacino already has a 33-year-old daughter and 22-year-old twins with the great Beverly D'Angelo. So this Alfala and Pacino apparently started dating during the pandemic.
Jeez.
This was from the story. Pacino and Noor started seeing each other during the pandemic. She mostly dates very rich older men. Shocking development. She's been with Al for some time, and they get on very well. The age gap doesn't seem
to... They get on very well?
They get on very well. I think that's like a British or Australian thing. Like, they get along well. They get on very well. The age gap doesn't seem to be a problem, even though he is older than her father. She moves with the wealthy jet-set crowd, and she comes from a family with money. Prior to her relationship with Pacino, Alfala was linked to Mick Jagger, whom she dated when he was 74 and she was just 22, as well as some 60-year-old billionaire. So
creepy.
The older thing has been established, but you've got 79-year-old De Niro, a dad once again, and now 82-year-old Pacino with an infant on the way.
Can I give her credit while knocking Al here?
Sure. You can do whatever you want. It's your program.
I give her credit because this is proof that she's not just sitting there giving him a massage or like cooking him dinner and or along for like some kind of payout when he keels over. To have a
payout when he keels over. How about the life she's living now?
Do you know anything works? Like, you don't know how college works. You don't know how teachers work. She just got a kid. Now she's getting double payout when he croaks. She just doubled down on.
Assuming she didn't sign a prenup.
To have relations with an 82-year-old wrinkly old man at 29, that's committing to this. So I give her a
richer future.
She's full all in. Here's my issue.
To a richer future with it when he's dead.
Now, to be fair, before you go on, I think in De Niro's case, some of his past show, there was a surrogate involved.
Okay.
So I don't know. Like, this woman is pregnant, but we don't know about the conception. How's
here's what I'm going to say about Pacino. I get winded running around the stairs and my kids want to play monsters with me. I think that you're actually a bad job to the kid if you're willing to have one at 82 years old, because I think 60 is probably the fair cutoff. I think you need to give yourself a puncher's chance to see them into adulthood, to feel like you've accomplished your duty as a father.
Mm.
Having a kid at 82, I'm sorry, you can't tell me you care about being a father.
I think the trust fund maybe makes up for that.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You need come on. You try to at least, you know, put yourself in a position where you have a relationship with your kid.
Right. You're finally getting one right. I think this is incredibly irresponsible, and I'd almost support a rule of like an actual age limit where you have to stop having kids.
Right.
You have to stop putting kids in the world.
Right. Now, the problem is she's really young, so she's entitled to make that choice with her body.
Yes,
right.
Yes, and like their relationship, I assume, is legitimate. But at 82, you're setting up your son or daughter to live the large majority of their life without one of their parents.
Yeah.
And that's a significant hurdle to overcome in your life.
Like, come on. Him making it to the 10th birthday would be a
right.
win.
And I know none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. I get all that part, but like, we also know at 82, there's fewer tomorrows in theory than most people have.
Yeah. There's only so many times you can put on Pacino's, you know, the Life's a Game of Inches speech to do the fatherhood thing for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the love of God, this is absolutely disgusting, though.
And
just 82-29.
Yeah. And less judgment on that front, just me. I can't fathom dating a rich 75-year-old woman. Like, I can never get that.
Unless it was, you know, for the obvious reasons where you had like an agreement and we kind of just.
I still think I wouldn't do that.
I probably get turned down by a 79-year-old rich older woman. So what does that say about me?
It's fair.
Right. If she's dating younger, she's looking for someone that looks a little different than you.
Speaking of sticking it out to the bitter end, should you stick it out to the bitter end of your team's elimination?
It's
in a
Mraz.
Building?
It's Bogus. It's a summer Wednesday here on the DA show.
It's a day.
It might be
spring.
It's another day. Remember, you can listen to us free on the Odyssey app, SiriusXM 158, all of our wonderful affiliates. We will continue to be audio only. Shocking, I know, for a radio show this week as Kaplan takes some time off. Billy Jocklow and Kevin Wall with us. Pete the Body taking a little time off. And DA still taking some time off, learning how to be a DA daddy. A daddy?
I asked this to him when he came on last week. There's no easy answer here.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit.
So with that, and of course, because we get a game 7 where a team could have came back. We talk about worst case scenario.
He's a da-da.
A da-da.
Yeah.
A da-da. I like it.
I love the da.
I like it. If the Celtics had won game 7, it would have been worst case. It would have been another log to the fire of DA being out after big sporting events. He survived that. But nonetheless, I've been told that we're in between diaper changes, and DA is with us on the DA show now.
Oh.
Did you know that these days, Mraz, you and I working the overnights, our first 2 years here at CBS Sports Radio, has prepped me for this exact moment because I actually have pulled the overnight diaper and feeding shift here at Casa Amendo. I am getting up at 1 a.m. and I am taking little AJ up until about 5:30 or so, and then giving it back to the Bourbon Bell and then getting like a few hours sleep. So I just woke up from shift number 2 of sleeping. I'm getting total of like 5 to 6 hours a day, which I consider it kind of a win. So it's kind of like after hours with DA around here.
You're going to be a real peach when you come back. Boy, are you. Couple months. That sleeping is going to kill you. So before we get into any sports, how, I mean, we're almost a week later, right? How, or we are a week later, the evolution of you as a dad. Are we in a flow or are we in a rhythm?
Well, so I have so many thoughts in this. I mean, number one, again, I bow at the altar of you guys for having done this twice now in your lives. It is just, it's so harrowing in so many ways. But what I've found as the evolution is when you're at the hospital the first couple of days, first couple of nights, they last forever. You're like, it can't only be 11 o'clock at night. It needs to be the morning. I need it to be the morning. We have to get out of here at some point in time. Like, time slows down to a molasses crawl. And then you get to a point about 4 days later when you can't believe how quickly days are going by because you got nothing done. You're like, wait a second, it's already 9 o'clock and I have absolutely done nothing today. How could it be tomorrow already? So I was texting with Bogish. It's just like the play clock moves too fast. It's just you're getting the play in at like 9 seconds to go. You're getting to the line. You're like, there's only 4 seconds to snap the ball. You're just like, I need more time here. We need more time. But no, we're in a little bit more of a rhythm. And, you know, I just, it's the most amazing thing ever on so many levels. But it just messes with your entire equilibrium, doesn't it?
Well, let me give you a little light at the end of the tunnel here. When sweet little Andrew Jack sleeps through the night.
Don't ever say that.
For the first time.
Ever, I can actually tell you that when we were going over middle names for Jay. I said, there's one name we will never, ever, 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 ever call this child. And we can debate everything else, but there's one that will never happen. And that just came out of your mouth. So let's never say that ever again.
But the first time he sleeps through the night and you therefore are not woken up at 1 a.m. by mayhem,
yeah,
you'll then wake up, the sun will be up, you'll look at the clock, you'll go, it's 5:30, 6 a.m., and you will think that someone took him, or he learned to walk, and he went out. It is both simultaneously exhilarating because they did it, but then frightening because you're like, "What did I miss? Where'd the last 8 hours go? Is everybody here and accounted for?" So,
yeah, I could
hopefully
see
that comes soon for you guys.
I could see that. Now, every day is a total gift. Every day is a blessing, no matter what. And what one of the things I'm so impressed by is just the total comfort of going in your pants. This is what Mraz must feel like.
You're welcome.
It's just incredible.
Newborns are onto something.
He's perfectly quiet and still. It's 3 a.m. You know, I'm on my 14th bad movie of the day. I'm sifting through Roku TV and I'm like, what channel? I didn't even know the Popcorn Flicks app.
Oh, if you're on the actual Roku channels, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I'm telling you guys, I have seen the worst of the worst. And then you just see him and he's so peaceful and his eyes are closed and he's doing that little baby gurgle. Like, you're like, oh man. And you just hear, whoa! And you could just do that in the middle of your sleep that peacefully is so impressive. It's just so incredibly impressive.
Now that I think about it, that's probably what prepped my wife to have the two kids sleeping next to me making the same sounds. With that, I mean, DA, look, you're talking about bad movies. Did you get a chance to watch Game 7? I mean, I know you're on basically no sleep, tape delay. Any thoughts on what transpired here with the Celtics?
So I slept through the entire thing. I went to bed at
so did the Celtics.
I was on the Celtics sleep schedule. I went to bed at about 8:30, 9 o'clock that night, as I said, to prep for the overnight.
I was on the Jaylen Brown plan that night.
Yeah. And so I woke up at 1 a.m. and it had been over, and I clicked on the CBS Sports app and just saw. And so yesterday I caught up with some highlights and caught up reading about it, you know, when he was sleeping and whatnot. But you know what's amazing is that I can't say I'm all that surprised throughout the entire thing. And again, I have watched very little sports since he came 8 days ago. But through that series, I was taken aback by through the series. It felt like the Heat were always the aggressors or kind of setting the pace for everything. I mean, even Game 6, where the Celtics had to survive, I know they had the lead, but they had to survive that final shot. It was like the Celtics kept getting just enough of a breath to extend this seemingly. I know that they won game five and game six easily, but I don't know. Once we got to game seven, I said, it feels like, and Mraz can vouch, we were texting about this. I was like, they might have expended all of their energy just getting to game seven.
Yes.
And the DNA of the Celtics is so poor. And whether it's Mazzulla, whether it's Jaylen Brown, whether it's Tatum, whether it's the culture of the team, I just felt like that's not that surprising. The way that we had gotten to that point in time, and you know, the Celtics themselves having done that in front of that fan base, I was not all that surprised that they kind of laid an egg, because I just didn't ever kind of trust their guts or their heart in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And now to spin it forward, Jaylen Brown, there's a lot of talk about maybe him getting moved. And DA, one thing that we have hammered home, maybe the only take you've supported me on, the Celtics remain ringless since that Tatum Brown, the Pierce Garnett picks trade. This team only has one ring since 1986. They suddenly are starting to look like a little bit of an overrated franchise.
I think that the Celtics themselves are constantly victims is the wrong word, but they are rewarded by being the Celtics in the public eye. You know, I was up there when they went to that second NBA Finals with the Garnett crew in 2010, and that was the vestiges of the ones that had won in 08 with Doc and KG and Paul Pierce, and it was like the Celtics' the greatness is back, the window is back for them to compete for championships, which was not the case before Garnett and Ray Allen showed up. And they kind of have always ridden that they got back to prominence and now we can expect them as a contender year after year after year. And it's just not the case. They've been super talented. They've made some really smart moves. But the fact that Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens and now Joe Mazzulla have kind of consistently made them contenders, I think has misled people into thinking that they're actually championship worthy. Last year was the closest version of that, but they were really not as good as the Warriors when it mattered. And the Warriors weren't a great champion either. So they're always good, never great. And they don't seem to ever hang around their neck the reputation of can't win the big one. Maybe this year they'll do it, because it was a real eye-opener that they sucked that bad in Game 7.
Are we going to argue about this again?
So
delicately on your side the last couple of days, saying that now is the time to have the conversations about the franchise that you guys wanted to have like from day six of the Brad Stevens era. But, I mean, they are, by definition, contenders. Like, they were in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final. Like, that makes them a contender.
You're right. I think it just, though, it's interesting where the line is in our sports landscape of when a team goes from really good, solid franchise to chokers. Because the Celtics have now had enough good teams that didn't close, that didn't win a championship, to where other franchises have been labeled chokers. We've had good teams throughout the years in a lot of sports, but if you don't win a title and you have multiple cracks at doing so, you get labeled can't win the big one. And I wonder if this is finally the season that narrative changes, because I don't think the Celtics ever worn that yet.
Right, and I guess in my mind, they can live in both of those worlds. Like, it's not one or the other. Like, being a choker doesn't mean you're a bad franchise or that you're overvalued, because you're going to, when we get to next year, they're still going to be mentioned presumably among the best teams in the East because they're that good. So, like, they can still be and they're still the envy of a third, if not half, of the NBA. There are a lot of teams who would trade the last 15 years of their franchise for what the Celtics have done. So, there's good and bad. It's not just one or the other.
You're right. I think it just becomes, when do you stop getting the benefit of the doubt that you can win a championship, that people expect you to win a championship? Because, again, how many franchises have we had where you're like, yeah, they'll be good next year, but I would never pick them to win the NBA Finals? To me, they're now in that category. And I think the Jaylen Brown whole void, is a huge reason why.
Now, not to pivot too far away from sports, I know we're CBS Sports Radio, but DA, the next time I think we may see you is Bob's Bar. You're going to be on the air before then. Today's a really big day ahead of the Bob's Bar show, which is just over 2 weeks out. As we all know, if we all go to Major League Baseball opening day, when you show up and you see those fresh lines painted, if you will.
Yeah.
Bunting.
Today is power washing day, or at least the power washer gets dropped from my shed to Bob. It's the last things he's looking to do. He is freshly polyurethaned Bob's bar 2 days ago.
Wow.
To give it a fresh, nice coat. And he has requested I bring his power washer that I borrowed over. And he is basically just putting down the lines now. He is fully blown prepared Bob's bar here for this moment. And there is a local television network, I didn't even reveal this to Bogus, that is now in talks with Bob about doing a story about a Giants fan, and that now are debating whether that's the day they bring the camera crew to show what a party Bob's bar is as well. Man. So the power washing, the polyurethane, and I mean, this place is getting, it's like the Palestra right now.
And he stiff-armed the construction crew. Their work's done.
There is palpable buzz officially in the West Babylon, Long Island area for this.
I have so many questions. The answer, the short answer is yes. That'll probably be the first time I see you guys in person. My leave from the show will end next Monday, so I'll be back on the air on Tuesday, and we'll do a couple of weeks on the air, but I'll just do it from home. But the first time I see you guys probably will be that day, unless there's another reason to come into the studios or something. Yeah. But so my first big question is, what's the construction look like sewer-wise on the streets? Because this has been something pressing on me. I'm sitting up in the middle of the night watching B-movies, and I'm thinking, is the sewage construction done in West Babylon?
So the answer is yes, but I don't know completed. So they have the local West Babylon Memorial Day Parade on Monday morning. So we pack up the kids and we head over, and obviously the rallying point is Bob's Bar, and we walk up. And right around the corner property in which my parents live.
How does the parade not go past Bob's Bar?
Well, a couple corners up. You got to clear out. All they right. know. There are where they dug up for the sewer, they re-put down like new tar, if you will. But nothing is even. So I don't know if they have to come over and now like repave the roads. It's regrated. Like huge bumps that are paved over. So I say this to say that they've already been given the warning, and they say they'll basically be done with all this by that show. If they do not elect to repave the road yet, it is going to make things extremely dicey for handing your keys over to Zach Gelb to have to navigate these bumps in the road.
Okay. That's a concern. Number two, the idea that I could show up right now in West Babylon to Bob's Bar and there's a freshly dressed deck and there is the fresh lines, the chalk lines rolled out, and there's somebody that's putting the first hot dog on the grill, and it feels like opening day is so, so thrilling.
Yes.
It is so thrilling, especially where I am right now. And I can tell you one of the highlights of this, no offense to Mraz, no offense to his family, but I booked my hotel for Thursday night of the night before Bob's Bar. I knew that there was some extenuating circumstances perhaps in all households involved here, and I did not want to be the Cousin Eddie rolling up from
we're okay.
the sticks.
Yeah,
and
we're
being
okay.
like, oh, yeah,
we're okay.
hey, who am I staying with? Crapper's full. So,
cigar-smoking dude's taking that bed this year.
Okay. So I booked it, and I just, like, clicked yes on the app or my phone, and I was just like, I can smell Bob's Bar. You know, it's like when you see pitchers and catchers report and you're like, I can smell opening day. So I am really excited. I've got a few goodies to bring to the event, and I'm going to have to talk it over with Mraz secretly because I don't want to say anything here on the air that Bob might hear. But it's going to be, I'm beyond excited, and you will see a unique version of DA, one that has been burrowed in a hole for a couple of weeks with a newborn.
You even, by getting that night's sleep, may be the most wide awake and not needing that typical 10-15 Bob's Bar nap, too. That could be a huge deal for the listeners.
Before we get out of here, I just wanted to say that I got so many amazing replies and emails and DMs from our listeners when AJ came last week and we made the announcement, and Ian Eagle really made the announcement, that said, you're going to be a great dad. And I just wanted to say right now, you guys have no idea what that meant to me, only because this is my first. And a lot of you would only glean that from who I am on the air, because you haven't seen me with my nephews or nieces, or you haven't seen me behind the scenes with children or whatnot. And that really touched me quite deeply, that just people thought I might be good at this. And even I don't know if I'm good at this. I don't know if I will be good at this, but I hope that I am. And that really meant a lot. So I of course, I couldn't get to every response, but I did read them all. And that was huge. And that was one side of this coin. And then the other side is the few chuckleheads that are saying, oh, DA's milking this. And
you get on that Little Debbie truck today, DA?
Yeah, I'm hungry,
that
man.
Little Debbie truck. And I just... I want to address that as well. From Milking Patrick is what we'll call him, because he thinks that I'm milking this. And Meek in Myrtle Beach, who says, what did he say? He said,
oh, you're going to name check somebody?
I love this. By the way, we already defended you on this today, but I'm here to see
your points. Yeah. He was Little Debbie. Yeah, this is Little Debbie Brad or Little Debbie Meek or whatever this is. And it is just this in a nutshell. If you know me and you've heard me on the air, perhaps the reason that you think I might be a good dad is because you know that I commit myself 100% to the things that really matter to me. And the show has always really mattered to me. And doing right by the listener has always really mattered to me. And now being a dad really matters to me. And I have taken advice from Bogues and from Mraz and from Bilotti. And that is, around here on this show, as important as the show has always been, we have always said family comes first no matter what. And when you're with family, do not even think about the show. We've all said that to each other constantly. When you're doing something with your family, do not even think about this show. And I really feel like it's part of the magic of this show, is that when you're here, you're all in. And when you're not, you take care of those important things. And so when AJ came, me being a first-time dad, Bogues has oftentimes said, like, this is going to be the most important job of your life. And I really believe it. And I see how amazing of a dad he is. And I said, I'm not going to shortchange my kid as I shortchange the audience. Because as I said, there's no way I'm watching anything. So my takes would be crap. I mean, my opinions would be just garbage opinions. And I'm certainly not going to show up at the house after a long day and be totally exhausted to then take over my firstborn and be like, yeah, let's just get through the day. Every moment I'm with him is a blessing. It's a gift. Every single second I'm with him, I'm kind of charmed and saying, like, how did I get so lucky? So I'm fully committed in these 2 weeks of leave to be the absolute best dad I can be and best husband I can be. And my wife needs it right now. And not everything went incredibly smoothly from last week and whatnot. So I'm here for her and I'm here for him. And I only say this not as some type of flex or whatever, but there's a reason behind me not being on the show. And I really love that people want me back on the show, but there is a much more important job for me to do, and I'm thrilled to do it. And when I'm back on the show, I will give everything I have to the show. But there's going to be a lot of days this summer where you don't hear me, maybe weeks this summer that you don't hear me. And it's because I'm doing the most important job I got. And so for anybody that, and I know that social media is not a great gauge, but I just feel for moms that feel this innate pressure to have to get back to work, or dads that feel this innate pressure to be back at work because, well, just move on with your life. You know, we got to get things done. Like, we got to get the Little Debbie truck out there and get the devil dogs delivered or whatever. There is no job that's unimportant. I'm not saying that any job is more important than not, but this job allows me some space to be a dad, and I'm going to take advantage of that. And the last thing you guys need is a half-assed take on Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals that I didn't watch. And the last thing my newborn needs is for me not to pay attention to him because I needed to create some stupid take that I didn't really have to do. So that's the line that I'm walking right now, and I appreciate everybody that would love to have me back on the show every day, but I feel incredibly lucky that Mraz and Bogues can take over for me and do a great job. And this is just about me doing the most important job I have today to the best of my ability. And when I'm back on the show, I'll do that to the best of my ability. So for every mom or dad that feels some type of external pressure from idiots that are like, oh, you should be back, man, who knows how many days you get to just sit with your kid ever for 24 hours, which I get to do right now. You know, at 8, he doesn't need me to do that. At 4, he doesn't need me to do that. At 22, he doesn't need me to do that. But at 8 days old, he does. So I get to do it. So I'm going to do it. So that's my piece.
Well said, DA. Well said. I think the only counter argument me and Bogues would have would be when they request your working, that means they hate us. So we don't necessarily love that. Also, our stunner news today was Al Pacino becoming a dad at 82. So no matter what, I know, we're going to say no matter what you're doing as a dad, just remember it can't be worse. You're not fathering at 82 like Pacino, because I can't imagine he's running around playing wiffle ball anytime
soon. He's taking more naps than the baby.
I mean, I just did the math. He's going to be 101 at high school graduation. Yeah,
I mean,
101.
For him, yeah, I mean,
Jerry Jones right now is so worried about winning another Super Bowl. How could Pacino not have this concern in him?
I mean, you know, I'm going to be 44 next month, and I've done the math. So I'm like, wow, I'm going to be 56 at AJ's high school graduation. That's kind of old. I don't know. You know. And then I look at Pacino. I'm like, oh, I'm a spring chicken here.
No doubt.
Honestly, no doubt. I'm like Wembanyama. I feel like I got like 30 years ahead of me in good basketball.
The only difference is Schwartz has heard of you. Oh, man. All right. Amazing. Well, listen, go watch, another 85 Bears documentary. Relax.
No idea that I actually did do some of that last night. We're going to do a segment when I come back on the show. Instead of Mothership at the Movies, Fatherhood at the Movies. I have specifically tried to watch films that you guys would respect me for. And I'm going to review them kind of like Mothership at the Movies, because really that's what my 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. shift is like. Is just trying to stay quiet, let mom sleep, and just watch movies. And last night, I could just find nothing. Is this it? Did I ever see this 85 Bears doc?
No.
So I just clicked on. It's called 85 Bears. No, it's just called 85 The Greatest Team Ever. So I said, I don't think I've seen this one.
Yeah, they've run out of names for them.
It was buried on Sling TV.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Those poor producers.
And I got through the first 10 minutes, and I said, oh, my God, they've interviewed Bill Murray for this? Oh, they've interviewed Obama for this? They've interviewed all these, like, incredible A-listers because they're Chicagoans. And then I saw, they don't have license to the NFL films footage,
It's
the worst documentary ever. And I said, no, I'm not doing this. Oh. I'm actually, the first ever 85 Bears doc, I actually pulled the eject button on. So I've got, so far, 10 movies that I have watched and reviewed.
10?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm through 10.
So what year are you on now? 92? How are you doing these chronologically?
Wait till you see Back to the Future 2.
I'm bouncing back and forth between new ones like Air and You People with some old ones. I just watched for the first time Whiplash last night. Can you believe I've never watched Whiplash?
I don't think I've ever watched Whiplash.
The drummer movie, right?
Yes. Is that what that is? Yeah, okay. That's with Miles Teller and
Aaron Rodgers' buddy.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm forgetting the name of the teacher.
J.K. Simmons?
J.K. Simmons? Rowling, right?
No.
J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. J.K. Simmons.
Wow.
My God, what a phenomenal movie. So, yeah, I'm kind of bouncing between the most modern and ones that I just missed that I knew that were really good. But I'm trying to make you guys proud without watching, Sweet 16 Candles for the 30th time.
All right. I know we've gone way over. I have to close with this because the audience is going to want to know. You still getting fat? What's the eating like over there right now?
Oh, it's coming.
No, I went through my lean period, and now I'm probably going to go back into the fat train because...
There's no other way to do it. It just happens.
Yeah, the 2 days before the hospital, you know, you're running all around. I'm not eating full meals, getting the nursery in place, making sure everything is ready to go. Then we're at the hospital, and, like, I'm eating barely anything. I'm staying up at all hours of the night to burp him, to feed him, to make sure that my wife can get just a little bit of rest. I'm not sleeping well when I'm there because I'm in the hospital chair that's like a pull-out pseudo bed. So I ate almost nothing for the 4 days that we were in the hospital. Then I came back to the house and, like, again, I'm just kind of like grabbing whatever I can. So I've actually probably shed 4 to 5 pounds.
Wow.
But that's just like stress and not sleeping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that now I would say a week from today when I'm back at the office or a little bit less than that, I'm probably going to just start housing terrible food again.
And
just
like
inhaling food. So it'll all come back to me because, I just have just, again, head is in a blender still, so I haven't been eating a lot.
Well, that sounds good. And if Badlands cannot burp on demand, you've now practiced burping him. You can yeah. pat him right in the back there, get it out of him in my face.
I got the burp thing down. I got the burp cloth down. If Badlands needs a burp cloth, I've got plenty of them.
Oh, this
we
is
can bring
so
in.
Good. We almost need you in a dad fanny pack as Badlands burps. That'll just add to it so well. All right, well, go.
After he burps in your face, should I stick some formula in his
Exactly. Exactly. Ooh, is this Similac? All right. All right, Dia. Well, listen, go spend time with AJ. Remember, from this point forward, Entenmann's over Little Debbie's, and just enjoy your day, man.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks for holding down the fort for me. And good to hear Kevin Wall and Billy Jock on the other end of the line that I dialed in today.
It's great. Cool. It was great. No Christmas music. We're off to a good start.
How. See you guys later.
See you later.
Love you.
Okay. Ho. Okay, well, we come back. One final CeeLo update. And good. Just good to hear from DA. We'll read some of your tweets on that as well. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA Show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
All right. Our stunt to a news brought us to Al Pacino at 82 having a baby. It's your epic fail.
So Robert De Niro and Al Pacino are best buddies, as you might know. And there's probably been some friendly, spirited competition over the years, but this might be taking it to a new level. So we recently learned that the 79-year-old De Niro became a father for the 7th time, welcoming a child with his girlfriend.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I guess Pacino didn't want to be left out. Just revealed, I believe yesterday or last night, the 82-year-old is set to welcome his 4th child, as his 29-year-old girlfriend, Noor Alfala.
A frisky pisky.
What? But you've got 79-year-old De Niro, a dad once again, and now 82-year-old Pacino with an infant on the way.
Can I give her credit while knocking Al here?
Duh.
I give her credit because this is proof that she's not just sitting there giving him a massage or like cooking him dinner and along for like some kind of payout when he keels over.
Hubba hubba.
Do you know anything works? Like, you don't know how college works. You don't know how teachers work. She just got a kid. Now she's getting double payout when he croaks.
I think that you're actually a bad job to the kid if you're willing to have one at 83 years old, because I think 60 is probably the fair cutoff.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Come on. You try to at least, put yourself in a position where you have a relationship with your kid.
You're finally getting one right. I think this is incredibly irresponsible, and I'd almost support a rule of like an actual age limit where you have to stop having kids.
Right.
You have to stop putting kids in the world.
Right.
Stand up. Let me see that, buddy.
But, I mean, for the love of God, this is absolutely disgusting, though. And just 82-29.
Yeah.
I'd probably get turned down by a 79-year-old rich old woman. So what does that say about me?
On the rock has red glare, the bombs bursting in air.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Pacino, by the way, 53 when the mother of his child was born. 53. To make you feel better about it. Our poll question of the day, if you were rehired by a job and in your first week back, are you allowed to take free tickets for an event from the company? 73% said yes. Kevin Wool, you're in the clear. He voted that many times. 26% said no. Mike Biseglia, Mikey B, used to work on Taz and the Moose here.
Yeah.
And
Gio
and
Jones
said 100% yes, so he would do this. Patio Ron tweets in, it's a rather poorly worded question. Why would a job rehire you? Well, ask Kevin Wool that question because it applies to him. That'll put a little bow on it. A permission-granted podcast, shorter version, but nonetheless, we're not getting punished by side C's. Me and Bogues will handle that post-show here. Thanks to Kevin Wall. Welcome back, buddy. Heck of an effort. Thanks to Billy Jacquelot on the Wheels of Steel. He's usually here on Wednesday. Today's not a Tuesday. Thanks to Jack Stern, a full day's work out in the newsroom. Thank you to Chris Lopresti on updates. Thank you to one another and everybody another. The mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.